So at the time of writing the chapter on the kind of sharing economy in Indonesia, there was this discourse about pandemic resilience and this kind of concept of gotong royong. So that's something that we explore in the chapter.
Hello everyone, welcome to podcast Hubungan Internasional. In International Relations Department in Universitas Gadjah Mada, we have this specific concentrations of study related to international political economy. When we're talking about international political economy, we usually refer to trade, investment, or maybe bilateral and multilateral agreements between nations. However, there are various aspects developing recently, which is the international political economy of everyday life. So it's basically looking at how the everyday decisions of an individual or maybe group of individual also affecting the international relations. And today in our podcast, we will explore more on the international political economy of everyday life with Professor Juanita Elias and also Professor Lena Rattle from University of Warwick. Professor Lena and also Professor Juanita developed this approach, international political economy of everyday life, as an alternative to understanding international relations. We will dig more on this one, and we hope you enjoy this podcast. Okay, hello, how are you? I hope you're doing fine.
Yeah, hi.
Okay. So yeah, we have heard about this international political economy of everyday life. To begin with, would you share us how this idea develops and basically the origin of this approach?
Yes, so it started as many kind of projects start in a kind of conversation on the corridor. And we were talking about teaching and how difficult it can be to capture students' imagination if you just talk about big theories that they might really struggle to relate to. And then we were thinking sometimes we use kind of historical events to kind of introduce our students to ideas of political economy, but that is also often very boring for our students. So, for example, the Asian financial crisis, which for me was really a key moment to kind of become interested in international political economy. It just happened when I finished my school. And so it was really a key moment. So our students weren't even born then in the late 1990s. The global financial crisis, which again was very important in kind of making people think about international financial system, volatile international capital flows and so on. Our students were in kindergarten. And so we thought kind of, we talked about how we were trying to get our students' interest, and we realized we were using photos, images, current events, objects. And then we realized that there was actually more to it, and that it was really a kind of nice way to introduce students to ideas of political economy. So, for example, you can ask them to check their label, and then it says, let's say, Indonesia, and that immediately kind of draws their attention to global supply chains, how students in Britain are connected to women in Indonesia producing those garments, and so on. And so for us, it was quite an intuitive way to think about political economy, but it also theoretically connected to this emerging field of everyday political economy.
Would you explore a bit more on how this everyday life aspect of international political economy significantly contribute to the theoretical aspects of international relations studies, where we usually talk about liberalism and also maybe realist perspective or maybe mercantilist one?
Yeah, so in a sense, there's two elements to the IPL project. Partly, it's about connecting with students and teaching political economy in a way that connects students' everyday lives, everyday practices, and things they consume, the ways they live their lives, connecting these aspects to global political economy. So there's a kind of pedagogical impulse behind the project, but also there is, you know, a very significant literature now within international political economy that centres the everyday and thinks about how everyday actors matter in international politics, but also the impacts of global political economic changes on people's everyday lives. And I think for me, as a feminist political economist, I've always been, you know, heavily influenced by the work of Cynthia Enloe, who asked a really important question back in the 1980s, where are the women in international politics? And by asking that question, she asked us to think about politics, to think about global politics differently. So suddenly, women working on banana plantations, women stitching clothes, women who are the wives of diplomats, all of these kind of actors suddenly emerge within international politics. And it's not just feminist researchers who tend to kind of focus on the everyday, but I think the feminist work is really important in terms of showing how gender matters to the study of international political economy. But of course, there's a whole range of other authors who are engaging with the everyday. So they're thinking about, what does it mean to focus on popular culture in order to study the everyday? So the TV shows that we consume, you know, what story does that tell us about globalisation? You know, there are people who are thinking about the everyday practices of financial consumers or the people who take out microcredit loans. You know, how can we go into much more depth and really get a sense of, you know, how international politics, international political economy is experienced at the everyday? So it's, I mean, it's I think there's a very, very broad range of people coming from a lot of different perspectives who are engaging with the everyday. But I think it makes some really interesting conversations.
Yeah. It's very interesting that you mentioned there are various everyday life aspects that we can explore. And we also have your website on IBEL.org right now, and also your new book, newly launched book on IBEL. But I would like to also explore on what is the limitation? There are various aspects of everyday life, of course, that you mentioned we can approach with this understanding, with the critical view, with the feminist view. But is there any specific that we can approach with this and we cannot approach with this idea of everyday life?
So, I mean, this concept of everyday has become popular across a range of academic disciplines and also fields in international relations, politics. So there's also like everyday security studies nowadays, for example. The question that we are trying to ask through IP of those everyday objects, subjects and practices is what connects you to global capitalism? And so ultimately, obviously, a kind of object and practice can also connect to international security, but we are guided by this strong focus on global capitalism. So if we are interested, for example, in a glass of water, then we would be interested in the commodification of water by big companies, that rather than kind of water being a public good, a kind of utility provided by governments for free to citizens, to populations, suddenly is being sold in some country text by big multinational companies and so on. So I think it's the ability to think both local or kind of shouldn't be every day, but kind of connected to those big systemic structural issues. So you think you have to basically, if you want to do the IPEL approach, is the international political economy of everyday life. So you're thinking the international and the everyday simultaneously. And there are many things that would then not fall under this umbrella. So if it's kind of like something that is very locally produced and locally consumed, that is not necessarily the case. But then if you draw a comparison to kind of global food chains and so on, then you see suddenly that there are those kind of wider global implications. And then it is what kind of Juanita talked about, it is how those global dynamics can touch down in our lives, but it is also how our behaviors actually shape those global dynamics. So in my research, I'm very interested in Islamic finance, for example. It's a very localized practice. It's something that is very private as well. But nowadays you have this big global Islamic finance industry, and as a way then also to challenge the global financial system. So again, there are very interesting political dynamics, international relations dynamics, that we can access by drawing on those very private, very individual experiences.
So if I can kind of rephrase it, is it really connected with the global value or maybe supply chain, but it goes beyond the global value and global supply chain? How do you see that?
Global capitalism. So okay. It's global financial market, global value chains. Juanita is doing interesting work also on global care chains, you know, so migrant workers, for example, and so on. So it really touches a kind of broad range of people's everyday experience, but with very kind of big global structure implications.
That's really interesting. You previously also mentioned that the international political economy of everyday life, when we see the global capitalism issue, you mentioned that it is intersection with the dynamics of the global politics, the dynamics of the international relations, especially when we have these war situations. My question then, would you share with us the challenges or maybe the the limitation and challenges in developing the IPEL perspective when there is also this traditional issues of war or maybe other security issues?
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting question. So I guess what you're asking is suddenly the academic focus shifts and we're all talking about geopolitics and war and conflict and those kinds of issues. That's certainly true, but at the same time, the political economy of everyday life goes on. And also we can think about the political economy of everyday life in the context of war and conflict as well. So, for example, in our IPEL book, we have a discussion about one of our cases is military spouses. So what is the work that military spouses do that enable militaries to function? Because, you know, there's all of this work that's being done at home that enables, you know, soldiers to go out and fight wars. We also have a discussion in there about internally displaced persons. So we talk a little bit about Maria Tanyag's work from the Philippines, where she talks about the kind of the caring labour that goes on within refugee camps and how, you know, this is also something that we need to consider in terms of, you know, not just thinking about this is what happens in refugee camps, but also thinking about how these are issues. These are the ways that, you know, these are the political economies of wartime, and this is how kind of war plays out in people's everyday lives. And I think this is really important. So, you know, there is an international political economy of the everyday that goes on, even if more than on the news it's all about war and conflict. You know, how do we, how do individuals live their lives in the context of war and conflict when their means to kind of reproduce themselves are progressively taken away and away and away? I think a political economy lens is always really important to those discussions.
So there is this new, as I understand, there is new areas that we can explore when it is when the international political economy intersection with other traditional ones such as war and conflict, etc. That will be very interesting because, for example, when there is this Ukraine and Russia war in Indonesia, we have this discussion that, well, the wheat supply to Indonesia will be kind of interrupted because the supply is disrupted by the war. And Indonesia is one of, here in Indonesia, we consume noodles a lot.
Yeah.
And that is how we actually can also relate on the way that disruptions of supply, disruption of the capitalism with the intersection with what happened in international relations can also affect our consumption.
And similarly, so because like German energy, so Germany moved away from nuclear energy, so kind of wanted to move to more renewable energy, but become also very dependent on Russian gas. And so now suddenly that was no longer kind of possible to buy for Germany. So Germany has become one of the biggest buyer of Indonesia coal, I think. So again, kind of feeling warm, this kind of climate, more like feeling cold, are also things of global significance.
So I see this kind of different issues, maybe in different geographies, different areas of the world, and when we're talking about the impact of international political economy and everyday life. So I would like to raise this question into Well, after your teaching and also researching IPE from the everyday life point of view, is there any specific or distinctive features between, especially, for example, certain geographies like Global South or maybe the Global North that inform you better about the varieties of global capitalism, for example?
So, I mean, our main caveat is that we are all four based at the University of Warwick, which is the Global North organization, and we are in very privileged positions. But the whole purpose of the IPL project is to take our students' lived experience very seriously and really as a starting point for them to explore the global economy. And we have a very international student body as well at Warwick, so it was always very important to come for that. And of course, the project, the website, was also launched in service to the global community of IPE scholars. And there's kind of a growing kind of number of IPE scholars and students in Indonesia as well. So we've tried to cover that a little bit. So in the textbook, I already mentioned Islamic finance as something that we also talk about a little bit in the textbook, then the chapter on debt. And we also have a chapter on the sharing economy, and the chapter on the sharing economy actually starts with a very famous Southeast Asian ride-sharing company. So let's look at some of the pictures. I think the color is very well known. Can you see that? And we actually have, I think, three pictures of that company. Oh yes, we have some kind of also alternative ideas about community. So at the time of writing the chapter on the kind of sharing economy in Indonesia, there was this discourse about pandemic resilience and this kind of concept of gotong royong. So that's something that we explore in the chapter, as kind of a range of different ways of people to live together, the kind of, like, we talk about the concept of Ubuntu, of the kind of shared humanity, and so as well as alternatives potentially to capitalism, but also something that has been harnessed for specific state projects and so on. So we draw in our own research very heavily on experiences, examples, insights from Southeast Asia. We have tried to bring that out a little bit in this textbook, but we are also very limited in our knowledge, obviously. So we've been trying to be sensitive, to be open to our students' experience, but we are also always looking for more experiences. So I think the nice thing, you were asking about the limits of the approach, but in terms of the topics you can cover, if you connect them to global capitalism, those two questions, it's limitless, basically. So if in your experience there is something that speaks to IP approach, then that is important, then that is something that is worth exploring.
About this experience, you emphasize on the experience of the issues in different areas. My questions will be on how then the best approach of understanding this experience and correlate it with the global capitalism in your view. Is there any specific methods that you have explored or maybe you will explore further?
So I think we wouldn't ever say there is one way to study the international political economy of everyday life. I mean, I think, you know, Lena and I, in our own research, have gone about this in different ways. So, for example, I've been involved in projects that involve kind of talking to women about their everyday experiences of living through lockdown. Lena has been involved in projects that involve observing what goes on at conference events. So there's lots of different ways in which you can be studying. Obviously, there's kind of, you know, classic sort of ethnographic methods which we always sort of associate with everyday life. I don't think that's the only way to study it. I mentioned, for example, a lot of scholars who are interested in the everyday focus on popular culture. Lots of people see, you know, TV shows, popular song, novels, you know, all of these kind of resources as a way of thinking about the everyday in perhaps different ways and making connections to global capitalism that may not seem obvious. So I think, you know, there's a real sort of methodological pluralism at the heart of the everyday political economy approach. I mean, something to bear in mind is that the textbook and the website, the IPL.org website, have been developed as student resources. So what we've, so whilst we both have done work that engages with the concept of the everyday from an academic perspective, I guess what we're interested in with IPEEL is really encouraging students to make these connections. And I think there's all kinds of ways in which you can do that. So in the book itself, we talk about not just topics, but we also talk about pedagogical interventions that we can make. So we have designed a range of different teaching resources that academics can use in the classroom or outside of the classroom to encourage their students to, you know, think about how they're connected to the global political economy in more creative ways. So that can be everything from go and make a podcast about fast fashion, or it might be we have a chapter on food, and one of the exercises that students need to do is a kind of mapping exercise where they look at examples of vegan food in their local neighbourhoods and kind of create a resource on the basis of that. And we also have thought experiments where students talk about what does it mean to borrow money from a friend, and how would you feel if that friend charged you interest on the money that they lent you. And these are all exercises that are designed to kind of get students thinking about their everyday lives, but then to sort of say, okay, we've thought about our everyday lives, but how does that then connect us to this bigger picture story? Most recently, we've been involved in a project where we kind of worked quite closely with students from our university and also from Monash University in Australia to write their own short IPEEL style essays. And these ones had a theme. So the theme was the everyday political economy of COVID-19. So we asked them to think about their experiences of living through the pandemic, and the experience of living through the pandemic in Melbourne or in the UK, or for many of our international students, some of the students who had spent most of the pandemic in China, for example, all had very different experiences of the pandemic and all picked up on kind of different topics. So, you know, a story about mask wearing that relates to wider stories about global supply chains, a story about mobile phones that then tells us a wider story about how accessing the city is mediated by age, for example. So there was lots of different stories and topics that our students engaged with and sort of looked to draw upon their own experiences to tell us a wider story about how their own experiences of living through COVID-19 connect them to a wider story as well. And I think, you know, there's lots of creative things that we can do as teachers with the IPEEL approach. And I think in the book, we put out like lots of suggestions for how you might, you know, enact the IPEEL approach in the classroom. But I think there's lots of scope for creativity.
Thank you. There are a lot of examples of doing IPEEL, a lot of issues there, as you mentioned. It's not only on the issue of COVID-19, but also the experience of mask wearing, and also you mentioned about the ride hailing in Indonesia. I have taken a lot of your time, but I would like to conclude with, is there any one or two advice that you can give to students or researchers doing IVEL?
I think it's obvious you have to be passionate about a project. And I also think, I mean, be both passionate, but also start little.
Okay.
I think that is always a good advice. And I think it is really, I mean, just be a bit more reflective. So my students now, whenever they go to the supermarket, they go through the aisles very differently from how they would have done it previously. And of course, I'm also much more aware that there are kind of lots of cultures where the supermarket is not the main place where you would go to do your shopping.
Any other advice for me?
No, I don't have anything really else to add. I mean, I think the IPEEL approach is just a really nice way of... It's one entry point into thinking about international political economy. It's not the only entry point. And I think, you know, there's still a place for studies of international political economy that focus on the big picture, kind of more regulatory dimensions of the global political economy. But I think going through the everyday can provide us with an understanding of why it's important to study these big picture regulatory issues. You know, we hear terms like global financial crisis, global value chains, trade negotiations, and they seem very detached from our everyday lives. It's hard to get excited about them. But once we see, okay, well, this is why I couldn't get my noodles, then it becomes important, yeah. and you gain an interest in it, and you can see how, you know, the big connects with the small and the small connects with the big.
Yeah, so passionate, be passionate, and also reflective.
And curious.
And curious. Thank you so much for our conversation. It's so fun for me talking about the IPL approach. Thank you again for your time. We hope to see you in the future and further ideas and stories about international political economy in everyday life. So that's our discussion today with Professor Juanita and also Professor Lena. We hope it's interesting enough for you to do international political economy in everyday life. We're waiting for your stories, experience, and also all forms of writings, not only on assignment for the class, but also out of class. We hope you enjoy it, and see you next podcast Hubungan Internasional.